Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
It was a few months ago. We were at Qdoba. You guys eat at Qdoba? It's a pretty good place to eat. Yeah, fans of Qdoba. Good. We were eating there as a family, and something happened that night that I just have to tell you made Amanda and I question what we were doing as parents. My girls are 10 and 6, and they love eating their chips and queso. And everyone was laughing and having a good time, and then my older daughter, Elin, she took a bite out of a chip, she dipped it, took another bite, dipped it again, and then finished the chip. I know, some of you know. You know, it's funny, I didn't notice it. I was too busy having a great time. Do you know who did notice? My 6-year-old, Enley. She noticed right away and she screamed, "Elin, you can't double dip." And what happened next was a complete replay of the Seinfeld moment. That's what happened, literally. And she was lecturing Elin about how you can't double dip. And then replaying it to us on what happened. This is what happened, almost like a crime scene replay, a dramatization of this is how she did it and everything like that. And she just kept going for it. And I thought I was in an episode of CSI at that point. And I thought to myself, oh, Enley, right cause, wrong approach. Because poor Elin, she didn't know what she had done. And of course, Amanda and I, we talked the girls through that whole situation. We comforted Elin and explained why Enley was not too excited about double dipping. And then we talked to Enley about handling the confrontation a little bit better whenever there might be a next time, which would probably ended up being later that night. And why do I tell you this story? Well, because today I want to talk about how we stand up. Stand up for what is right. Not just double dipping, of course. I mean, double dipping, we don't do that, right? In queso. In this series, we've been looking at some of the major events from the book of Daniel. And it's been just an awesome series. We're just 4 weeks in, and it's following a great book in the Old Testament, and we really have just been skimming it. Honestly, there's so much in there. I'd highly recommend you jump into a life group or join our online life group. It happens on Wednesday nights. Find a Countryside pod. You can join up with another family. Do the talk it over questions after this service. Find a study on Right Now Media, and you can get access through that. For those of you, welcome. Those of you who are watching online, attending online at Countryside Anywhere, you can find that link. Amber's going to put it in there. In the chat for you. But I recently spoke to a few folks who were attending online on Countryside Anywhere, and one particular gal, she and her family have been going over the Talk It Over questions we update every single week, and so we have those available on our notes during the service. Access those notes by scanning the QR code in the corner right now. Right now. There it is, right there. You gotta line that puppy up, right? But you can also find that link in the sermon archives and for each week's message. In fact, we have a week's message set up right now at teamcountryside.com. And so check out those Talk It Over questions. By the way, there's a little special bonus at the end about Batman. If you get me the answer, I'll send you a free coffee from our coffee shop. A card, not a coffee in the mail. That'd be crazy. Now, okay, at some point, let's be real. Someone that you love is going to make a decision that you are pretty sure isn't the best. Now and then, God is going to prompt you to stand up for something that is clearly a moral issue and speak the truth in love to someone. Hopefully with humility, but not shying away from the hard conversation. And I have to tell you that, Pastor Mark, as we were going over these messages in the series, I think I ended up with the hardest chapter of Daniel. And I tell you this, number one, because I tend to avoid conflict. I shy away from it. I see conflict start approaching, and I'm like, no, I don't want any of that. Do that voice and everything. And some of you also, this is the second reason why it's a hard chapter. Some of you, I want you to hear my heart and meaning in the message. and I pray that you don't misunderstand it. Because some of us have a confrontational personality style just by nature. Do you know anybody like that? Don't look at them. You don't want to ruin Sunday brunch before it starts, okay? But if that's you, you might listen to this teaching and you might be like, yep, thank you. Thank you for giving me the okay to go home and start calling people on my list, because I know you keep a list, with the truth that they need to hear. You know what? In fact, for fun, how many would you say are naturally non-confrontational? That means you avoid conflict like me. Let's raise up our hands right now in solidarity. We avoid conflict. We tend to avoid conflict. Yeah. Yeah, there are a few of you. If you're attending Countryside anywhere, just go ahead and let Amber know on Facebook or teamcountryside.com if you're naturally non-confrontational. Now, I noticed that the hands went up and down. Like, you don't want to make a controversy, right? You're like, yep, that's me. Not a big deal. Let's leave it alone. Okay, so those of you who are very confrontational, let's see your hands. Let's go. Yeah. I saw some of them just go like that. And they're still up. Some of you have two hands up. And that's very confusing. I will not approach you in a conflict. So there's two extremes on this scale. Some are more unwilling to speak when we need to. We tend to rationalize this out. Well, it's none of my business. I'm just going to live and let live. Who am I to judge? Find yourself saying that? Some are too willing to speak up and not be thoughtful about how they do it. Some confront unlovingly. I heard one of my friends once say, I'm just a guy pulling the pin and throwing the grenade. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, okay. Look, we're all familiar with how drive-thrus work, right? You drive up, you say what you need to say, and then you get what you want at the next window, and then you drive away. Well, I would say there are some people who like drive-thru confrontations. They don't have any context, any relationship, and with social media, this is like next level stuff. That's where we are in society right now. This is really has become next level. They get up there and boom, roasted, and then they're on their way. That's the way it goes. See, God wants us to stand up in the right way, at the right time, and for the right reasons. And depending on how and where you land on that personality style, you're either really, really excited about this message, or you might be dreading it. And that's okay. We're gonna walk through this together because we're gonna figure out what it takes to stand up in the right way at the right time and for the right reason. Let's start with wisdom. How about wisdom is a good thing to start with? If you're a follower of Christ, there will be those times when God will want you to stand up for something he cares about. And it might mean speaking up, speaking into someone's life because God loves them, and we should too. If you're a parent, you may have a child that's making decisions that's leading them away from God's best for them. And you need to know, when is the right time for me to step in so that I don't push too hard and push them away, but I want to bring them back to the things of God? Or you may have a family member that's just making questionable or even poor relational or financial decisions. And you know that over time, it's just going to be devastating for them. And so God may call you because you love them and care about them to stand up and say, look, there's a better way. Or your best friend and accountability partner continues to make bad purity decisions. And because you love him and want what's best for him, and you understand you're not perfect, and this isn't a moment to judge, but you want to love him enough to help him make good decisions. You may have a relative that's just a judgmental pain in the backside. And every family seems to have one of those, right? Okay, if you're not nodding and you might be saying, well, ours doesn't, it might be you. I'm sorry. But Thanksgiving is coming up, and if we do get to gather together And it's that time of year where we're all coming together, but then one person is undercutting everybody. And finally, you may stand up and say, I love you, but in our family, we're not going to do this. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to help you make good decisions that would help bless everybody else. Now listen, you may have a friend who has two cats, Chris and Amber, and they're thinking about getting a third. And for crying out loud, you'll stand up and say no. Because friends don't let friends have three cats. Amen. You can post that on social media. That's fine. That's a side point. Sometimes God will ask you to stand up in the right way, at the right time, and for the right reasons. So how do we gain some wisdom on this today? Well, we've been in Daniel, so let's stay in Daniel. We're going to be in chapter 4 today. And one returning person in these events in Daniel is King Nebuchadnezzar. You guys are awesome. Pastor Mark and Pastor Jamie got you prepped. I like that. King Nebi was not a good dude. Now, one of the most interesting things that you'll notice in chapter 4 is Daniel didn't write it. It's actually written by Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, madman. And he's writing this in hindsight. Now, you remember what Pastor Mark said about hindsight being 2020. If you missed that, a few messages back, you can check it out on our archives. So we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 4, and this is where we sit. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. Ooh, so good for you. But one night, I had a dream that frightened me. Okay. So he's being very real. He's being very honest here. So this is frightening this bad dude. So it must be bad. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in bed. So I issued an order, calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. Now, it says they could not tell him, but many scholars, and I'm tending to agree with this, many scholars believe that they would not tell him. Because here's the deal. My first grader could probably interpret this dream. They were like, okay, no, King, that sounds like bad news. I'm not gonna share that with the king. Because kings were notoriously killing people who gave them bad news. So the king's like, what does it mean? Oh, I don't know, king. Well, that's a good one. Maybe I'm stumped. So ask somebody else. And he just kept going down the line. And so that's what the king did. The king went and asked Daniel, who was probably about 40 to 50 years old in this time. And he's already interpreted so many dreams for the king before. So they've had a relationship for decades. And Neb calls in Daniel, and he says this in verse 8. We're going to be reading for a bit. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Doesn't sound so bad. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, cut down the tree and lop off its branches. Shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field. For seven periods of time, let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones, so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people. Well, that is a very detailed recollection of a dream, I must say. King Nebuchadnezzar tells that dream to Daniel, and Daniel also does not want to interpret this dream. It says in verse 19, upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, I just like Daniel better, right? Was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. All right, I did a little research on dreams this week since I only work on Sundays and I have nothing else to do. Well, according to several articles, here are some standard dreams most of us have and their collective thought process of as far as meaning goes. Okay, just for fun, I'm going to go through these. How many of you ever had a dream that you're falling? You falling? Yeah? Okay. Usually this happens right when you're falling asleep, too. Apparently, that symbolizes something in your life you can't control that really concerns you. Now, I don't have the falling dream, but I'll wake up thinking that a basketball is coming at my face, and I'll throw my arms up in the middle of the night, and I look at Amanda, and she's awake now, and she's not happy. Anyway, how about forgetting an exam or an appointment? Anybody have that one? You're late. You forget that you're supposed to be somewhere. It means you don't feel adequately prepared for something. I mean, I had that dream last night. I don't know, but just kidding. Okay, if you dream of chocolate, that means that you feel like you've done something good and you deserve to be rewarded. You can't force dreams of chocolate, so you got to do something good in your life, right? And if you dream that you have to go to the bathroom, that means you've got to go to the bathroom. Get up and go. Dreams are funny things to analyze. But it sounds like this dream nobody wanted to analyze. And if I'm Daniel, I might have even said, man, that's a good one, Nebby. I don't know what that means. Maybe you had too much Guadalajara's last night, right before bed. It happens to everybody. Okay, look, Tim, I gotta go. Sorry. But instead, we're going to see how Daniel lovingly stands up and tries to point him in the right direction. Remember that the king is frightened, so he's just like, Daniel, just tell me, just be straight with me, man. So Daniel comes to him in verse 19, and he says this. Then the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream. This is what the king says to him. Don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, not to you. Okay. It's not going to get better for Nebi. This is what Daniel says. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have grown strong and great, and your greatness reaches up to heaven, and your rule to the ends of the earth. He's saying, this tree is you, man. And this is what will eventually happen. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. That doesn't sound good. And you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven periods of time will pass. That's about 7 years while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. Now listen, but the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. Now he could have stopped there. He did exactly what the king asked him to do. Daniel could have left it at that. But if you're going to take away anything today, if you're going to notice anything and write something down or take notes in your phone, Notice how Daniel once again has the courage to stand up and do something that risks his life, literally. He stood up to the king, not because he was proud of himself, not because he was pounding his chest, not because he was arrogant, not because he thought he was better than the king. He stood up to the king because he loved the king and he wanted what God wanted for the king. He wanted him to see the goodness of God. So with courage, he said this in verse 27. King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, okay, close, okay. Please accept my advice. In other words, I care for you. I want what's best for you. And then he says what? I would like to say this aloud together. He says, stop sinning. We can do better. 1, 2, 3. Stop sinning. Good. And then we're going to say the next one too. 1, 2, 3. And do what is right. And then he goes on to say, break from your wicked past. And see, this is where he says, God's given you this influence. Be a blessing to the people that serve your kingdom. Be merciful to the poor. And then he says, perhaps then you will continue to prosper. In other words, please do what's right because I want what God wants for you. You see, I want you to be blessed. So please do the right thing. But then, verse 28. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebi. See, when we lovingly guide someone, this is basically the format. I love you. There's a better way. It's God's way. So stop. Turn back towards God. Stop spending money you don't have. Stop being disrespectful to everybody around you. I want to have a better marriage. Let's treat each other with love and respect. Please stop doing this thing that's hurting you and hurting others around you. And that's what Daniel stood up and said. And once again, I don't know when it will be. I don't know under what circumstances. But if we're followers of Christ, if we're doing life with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we're encouraging one another, we're loving one another, we're supporting one another, we're focused on God's word for our lives, we're praying for one another, then there's going to be a time that God is calling us to stand up and speak the truth in love to someone who's making poor decisions. And help them get back on God's path. Just as the same way that there will be times when God has others show up in our lives to stand up and speak the truth in love to us. Because you're missing it. And helping you get back on the right path. And so it takes wisdom. But it also takes a willingness. It takes a willingness to pray and seek God's help in it. It doesn't mean that you go behind backs and start talking to all of your mutual friends. There's a willingness to come to God with it and pray over these moments. Because if we fast forward from this time with Daniel and the king Nebuchadnezzar to the times recorded in the New Testament, we see a moment where Paul really mirrors exactly what happened with Daniel and the king. And he writes this in Galatians. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, again, I'm going to have us all say this out loud. Starts on should. 1, 2, 3. Should gently and humbly, not arrogantly and harshly, as so often we fall into, help that person back onto the right path. And I love this imagery. Because I love you, I'm here as your brother or sister in Christ, gently and humbly. I'm no better than you. This isn't me judging you. Man, I just want to help you get back on the right path, the godly path, because you're in a place that could end up hurting you, could hurt so many others, and I care about you. Then Paul writes this interesting ending to that statement. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. We're going to come back to that. When we confront lovingly, speak the truth in love, we're going to be prayerful. And so I've given you two very simple prayers that will help. Now the first one is this. When God's calling us to stand up and speak to someone, we pray, God, help us stand up with the goal of restoration. Help us stand up with the goal of restoration. We never stand up because we are right and we want to be right. That's not what this is about. We stand up because we want to help someone else be right with God. Remember, drive-through confrontation with angry people on social media, with people that we've got no relationship with, that's not effective in bringing restoration. Investing in relationships will give you the opportunity to have the context needed when we stand up. And it goes beyond going to church. It's when we open up our lives and our hearts and we're vulnerable to others. And you have access to speak the truth into my life and you give me access to speak the truth into your life. That's when our marriages get better. That's when we parent our children together better. That's when we really, really can press on the deeper things that God has in our lives to open up our hearts. So God, help us. Help us stand up with the goal of restoration. The second prayer is this. God, help us. Help me to speak up with caution. God, help me to speak up with caution. You know who I'm talking to. It's really interesting that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. You see, when we stand up and lovingly confront, we can become very vulnerable to pride. You know, you walk around and you're starting to help people and suddenly you're thinking, good thing I'm so spiritual and I can help everybody because they're not. Before long, we can embrace this really prideful, sinful attitude. And this trap actually reminds me of Batman. Okay, now hear me out, okay? Batman is a product, for those of you who don't know, of a painful tragedy that happened in his life. Or I mean, Bruce Wayne's life. They're not the same guy, right? My kids and I love the movie Lego Batman. Anybody see Lego Batman? Yeah? Okay, I see some hands. That's awesome. I love Lego Batman. It's hilarious, but Batman falls into the same trap. He's the vigilante crime fighter for Gotham City. He's the savior of the city. And in this movie, Police Commissioner Gordon is retiring, so he hands over his job to his daughter, who's taking over. And so the new Commissioner Gordon, Barbara, as Batman calls her, She's talking about making changes to Gotham, and wouldn't you believe it, but the idea is that she's trying to get them away from leaning so much on Batman. Well, how does Batman take this? Not good. Not good at all. See, he's got his identity wrapped up on being the savior of Gotham City. He's worried about losing his place because all he's heard up until that point is, wow, it's a good thing we have Batman to save our lives because we can't save ourselves. So Batman embraces this prideful attitude, right? Good thing I'm here to help you since you can't help yourselves. Now you see, it's the same thing. It's the same trap that we can fall into. So what happens in the movie? I'm not going to tell you. You should watch it yourself on the same bat time, on the same bat channel I did. Get it? Bat time, bat channel? See, some of the older, thank you, I brought you back. You're like, Lego Batman? No. Same bat time? Got it. Okay. Oh, by the way, what do you call Batman when he skips church? Christian Bale. Okay. Thank you. Tough crowd. Okay. I don't even know how to come back from that. Okay, we're back. We're back. Look, we need to be careful. Not just with bad jokes, but we need to be careful when we need to be willing to stand up. But we need to do it with caution in mind. So we pray, We settle our hearts and we pray, God, help me to stand up with caution. If you're concerned about a specific issue that God's been putting on your heart to speak to somebody about, believe me, I run into this more times than you know. What happens is that's a big turn for me of saying, I don't want to talk about this. But what I've found is when I'm having trouble standing up on a specific issue, it's possible God has given me that burden of that issue because my heart needs to be set right. And I don't know if that's you too, but that's just me. So we have to be so careful. That's why Paul writes gently and humbly, because the last thing we want is a church full of people who are just against each other because we're all mad and holding grudges about the way we handle things. That's the worst thing. And now you're understanding why I feel like this is the toughest chapter to talk about. Because with all my heart, it just hurts me when I see Christians become known what they're against, known for what they're against. We want to be known for what we're for. And we are for the kingdom of God. We are for people. We are for other people wanting to be closer to God. So we want to help them become closer to God. And so that's exactly what Daniel's doing here. He says, King, man, I love you. I wish this didn't apply to you, but it does apply to you. And I humbly tell you, please accept my advice. Stop sinning. Do what's right. Because if you do that, maybe you'll continue to prosper. No prideful promises, just straight talk with someone he cares about. So what does King Nebi do? Does he go, oh, you know what? You're right, Daniel. Please forgive me, God. Let's all just take communion and sing Waymaker. Yeah? No, he doesn't do that. What he does is he continues to rebel against God. And it all comes to pass. 7 terrible years. He's in the wilderness living with consequences of his choices. Some of you are going to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to stand up and get it right. You're not going to be harsh, and you will speak the truth in love, and it will all go as planned the way God has called you to do it. And sometimes people you care about are going to listen, and sometimes they aren't. And here's what I hope you'll hear. You're not responsible for their response. You're simply responsible to be obedient to what God called you to do. You do it right, and you trust God with the results. And that's what Daniel did. And 7 years later, by the grace of God, we read in verse 34, again, this is all hindsight for Nebi. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High. I love that it says, my sanity returned. You ever been walking so dark that you forget where you're going, and you turn around and you say, God, I'm so sorry, and he's right there? That was this moment for King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel stood up and spoke the truth in love, and eventually restoration comes. Not on Daniel's timing, not on King Nebuchadnezzar's timing, but on God's timing. Sometimes you're going to have to take that risk, and it can be messy. In your marriage, you may have to say, I don't feel that we are loving and respecting like we should, and I love you, so let's get some help. Your child is going a direction away from God, and you say, I love you too much. Look, I made mistakes too when I was young. Would you please just listen to me? Not because I want to be right, because I want you to be right with God, which is the best way. I want to help give you solid advice that will help. And if we're open to God's leading and we are gentle and humble, but willing to stand up, God will use you to help someone. Maybe it's a parent who has strayed away. And maybe they knew God long ago, but they don't know him now. And you're here, you're experiencing this, and maybe you've been here and you're you're wondering, God, who should I share this with? And it might be your parents. It might be your siblings. That's a tough conversation to have. If our hearts are really in the right place, he'll set us up. He'll give us the words to speak. And he'll also send us another follower to help us when we need it most, too. Have the wisdom and willingness to know when to stand up for the right reasons. Pray with me. God, I pray that at the right time when you lead us to stand up and speak the truth in love, that you would give us the words to say and the timing and the approach, and that your Holy Spirit would even go before us to soften hearts, not just their hearts, but our hearts too. God, I pray in particular right now for marriages. God, I pray that if there needs to be some tough conversations to bring the marriage to a better place, to make it grow stronger the way you want marriages to be, I pray there would be the courage to do so, and that it would be done in the right spirit, in right attitude. God, I pray that there would be healing where there is brokenness. I pray for parents who are aching because their children are making decisions that are driving them away from you. Give them the wisdom as to when and how to step in. Help them to trust you. Some of you right now, you recognize maybe you believe in God, but you're not serving him. And others here and attending Countryside Anywhere, you're feeling drawn towards the things of God and you don't know what that is. You are not here by accident. You are not just stumbling upon something on Facebook by accident. You are here because God loves you and he's trying to reach you just like he was trying to reach the king. Some of you are struggling with something in your life that isn't good and you need to bring it to God. You can bring it to him today. And he wants to take it. He wants you to find someone you can share that burden with. Let them speak love and truth into your life. And if you don't know God at all, this is a moment that you can just pray this prayer and start this process of knowing him more. You can pray, Heavenly Father, today I give you my life. I need your grace and your forgiveness through your Son, Jesus. Jesus, make me new. And I believe you died for me and you rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your spirit so I could follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own, and today I give it to you. Thank you for this new life. And for all of us, once again, God, Father, I pray, give us the wisdom we need when we need it, and the willingness to do all that you are asking us to do. And in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen.